that we have taught. You say, this is my Bible. It's the word of God to me. Instructions in the word of God are for me. Come on, they are for me. Praise the Lord. Amen. We are looking at marriage and relationships, but we will almost not get there because I know the way I teach. I break things down so that you can get it. But when we are done, you'll be rest assured that your relationships and even marriage and other things, like I always say, when I teach, other things just get into the bearing. Right? Amen. Praise the Lord. Is for a subtitle of our teaching, Ecclesia, the Supernatural Family. Amen. Say, I am in God's supernatural family. How did we become part of God's supernatural family? Right? We became part of God's supernatural family through the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can we get a believing amen? Because we need to understand who we are so that it can affect what we do. How we are not everybody. We are believers. Someone say, I am a believer. So if you want to open with me the Bible, right? The Bible says in the book of Romans, it says, the wages of sin is death. And the gift of God, I'm in Romans 6:23. I'm just already, I want you to be there. The wages of sin is death. Are you there? Okay, Romans 6:23. Are we all there now? Okay. Though someone say, the salary of sin is, so what must you be paid if you've got a sin nature? Death. But the gift of God is, I want you to see it in your Bible. I'm not quoting it. I want you to see it. Verse 23. Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is, so the man that is, has the sin nature will die. Right? So the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So what does God give to the man that has believed the gospel? What does God give to the man that has believed the gospel? Eternal life. Listen, because a lot of people will never understand God's mercy if they don't understand God's judgment. Amen. Amen. I'll say it again. People will never understand the mercy of God if they don't understand the judgment of God. So the way the system is, when man sins, man must die. What is death? Death is actually separation from God. Amen. Amen. So the point is, when man sinned, the law is that man is to be separated from God. Man is to die. But what is the judgment hanging over humanity? Someone tell me. From what I just said, what is the judgment hanging over humanity? Death. So what did Jesus come to do? Jesus did not just say, okay, yes, they are my children. It is what it is. I forgive you. That will make God a loving God, but will not make God a just God. Amen. This is the beauty and balance of Christianity. God is love and God is just. That's why the wages of sin is death. But God now says, yes, I will not circumvent the process. This is the reason why the devil is irredeemable. Amen. Amen. The wages of sin is death, destruction, separation from God. But what did God do for humanity? God came and died. So the mercy of God is understood in the level of the judgment. So what was supposed to be my end? Death. What did Jesus do? He came to give me life. So I can now understand the mercy of God. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. We're reading from verse 4. So when we talk about a merciful God, we are talking about guilty people set free. Not set free because God wanted to. God set them free by legally paying the price. Amen. Are we together? Amen. Okay, Ephesians 2 verse 4. For God who is, I want you to be there. Ephesians 2 verse 4. But God, who is God? He is rich in mercy. So if there was something you wanted to say about your God, what would you say? He is rich in mercy. Rich in what? Mercy. For his great love. So when you're talking about mercy, there must be judgment. Amen. For you to actually talk about a merciful God, you must be talking about judgment, in that there was a problem. And then he sorts out the problem. We now say he is a merciful God. Praise the Lord. We are now saying that your God is actually rich in mercy. Not only is he rich in mercy, he says for a great love. Someone declared this, God loves me. So the gospel is proof that God loves you. God's love for you is not in what he will do. God's love for you has already happened. Amen. See, God's love for you is not in that he'll give you a car, he'll give you a house, he'll give you a job. God has already loved you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? John 3:16. For God so loved the world. That what did he do? He gave. He loved. A lot of people today, and that's why they get defeated. A lot of people today try to look at God's love from the happenings in their lives. If God, you love me, why am I going through this? That is not how you look at the love of God. The love of God is in that he died for you and gave you life. Why? You were a subject, an entity of death. Hallelujah. The judge, what was hanging over humanity? The judgment of death. That's why we preach the gospel. That's what gives our life a new meaning. There is a judgment of death hanging over every man that does not believe. Not because God wants to send them to hell. No. It's because there is a just system. God must be just. Will the king of the earth not do right? Amen. God must be just. So he loves man. What does he do? He provides a way out from man. Not to enter into darkness. But man must choose that way. God is love, but God is just. God is love, and God is merciful. But you can throw away his mercy by not receiving the gospel. We are saying to you, the gospel today is proof. That's what you stand on to be bold on the earth. Amen. The gospel, that's what Paul will say. Paul will say, what can separate me from the love of God? Either famine, pestilence, nakedness, sword. Who can separate me from the love of God? He does, Romans 8:32. He said he spared not his own son. And this is how you should think. Say, this is how you should think. Romans 8:32. I want you to see it for yourself. Romans 8:32. How believers should think. You see how we're going to get there. Follow carefully if you can. Romans 8. Are you in Romans 8? Amen. Romans 8. Are you there? So this is Paul meditating as he's writing. So let's read that together. He that spared not his own son and delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all these things? Right? So what is Jesus? What is Paul trying to say there? Paul is trying to say the way a believer should think is that the believer should start from God loved me and gave himself for me. So that is the way you say, oh, he has so much love for me. There was judgment over my head, but he came as a human being. I remember that God came as a human being to die for me. Because if you don't know about the judgment of God, if you don't know about the reality of the wrath of God, you will not appreciate his mercy. You just think some people just love God and are doing the things of God because they like to or because God gave them something. No. There is a judgment of death that was on man. Man will have been eternally destroyed, but God rescued me. Praise God. Is there 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 9 and 10. There is a wrath of God. It's a reality. The wrath of God, the absence of his presence that people call hell. That's what I've been saved from. Hell on earth and hell when hell is hell. Amen. Okay, all right. First Thessalonians 1. I want you to see it yourself. This is the reason why it affects everything that we do. Someone say everything that we do. First Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. And to wait for his son from heaven. Are you seeing? So what is happening in the world that we are in? We are in a waiting game. Who are we waiting for? Is there? Okay, read verse 10 again. And to wait for his son from heaven, who he raised from the dead. Who is he talking about? Even Jesus. Who is this Jesus? Which delivered us from the wrath to come. 1 Thessalonians 5. Look at it in verse 10. 1 Thessalonians 5. Are you there? For God has not appointed us to... Okay, 1 Thessalonians 5, 9. I want you to be there. We're reading 9 and 10. God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. He has not appointed us to wrath. It's there. There's wrath. I'm saying you will not understand the life that we live. That's why Jesus will say, he that is forgiving much is loved much. A lot of times Christians forget how much they've been forgiven. Amen. He that is forgiving much loves much. He says, for God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. What did he say you should do in verse 11? Comfort yourselves. Tell yourself this truth. Because you always will forget. There is someone who has saved us from wrath. He has, look at Colossians 1:13. He has delivered us from darkness. There is darkness. Amen. Colossians 1 verse 3. Colossians chapter 1 verse 3. Hope I'm not too fast. Am I too fast? No. Colossians 1, I'm too fast. Colossians 1:13. At the back, they said I'm too fast. Colossians 1:13. Are you there? Who art delivered us from the power of darkness? He has done what? Delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. So where were we before Jesus came into our lives? Darkness. Where are we now? In his kingdom. Amen. Where are we now? In his kingdom. Where are we now physically in this? We are in the United Kingdom. Right? So someone might have come from Algeria and then he's granted visa or whatever to come into this country. He has come into United Kingdom. And the point is, because we are really talking about marriage and relationship, I want you to understand that in Algeria, there will be a way they behave there. Or even if it's from Nigeria. For one very clear example is that in Nigeria, they drive do we have Nigerians in the house? It seems like only Algerians, Mexicans are in the house. We drive on the... Where do we drive on so we can move on? Eh? We drive on the right hand in Nigeria, for the few Nigerians in the house. And on the left hand, in the United Kingdom, we drive on the left. Amen. So when you have left Nigeria, where they used to drive on the right, if you drive on the right in this country, will you get into trouble? Yes, you will, because you'll be facing oncoming traffic. The point is, when kingdom changes, lifestyle changes. Amen. Because kingdom, so king, domain. That's where they got the word kingdom. So what has happened is, yes, Jesus has actually translated you from darkness. So in the kingdom of darkness, there's a way that they do. In the kingdom of darkness, people normally will steal, will lie, will cheat on people. In the kingdom, in the new kingdom, people are selfless. People love on others. Amen. And praise God. If you are operating the kingdom of darkness in the kingdom of light, it's like you walking, running a one-way traffic or head-on traffic with another person. When which somebody is driving on the right in a kingdom where they drive on the left. Amen. Are you getting the analogy? That's what we're saying. Because a lot of times people always just talk about marriage. No, we must understand why, how we got into what we'll be saying. We are saying it is because you are in another kingdom. We started off by saying Jesus met you, a sinner, in the kingdom of darkness. You could not save yourself. There was judgment over your head. He came by himself, rescued you from that kingdom, and now brings you into his own kingdom. The point now is, in his own kingdom, there is a way we live. Praise God. That's what I've said so far. There is a way that we live, even in our relationships and our marriages. Amen. Now, let me tell you something. Christianity that is not practicable and practicable cannot be total theology. Praise God. What do you hear? Do you understand what I just said? Meaning that after we teach you, you must know exactly what to do. It is something we practice. That is why when all of this, you are a new creation, you are sitting in heavenly places, you are far above, Jesus loves you. What does it mean in your everyday work? That's what we're talking about. Love your brother. So, for example, we're talking about relationship and marriage, and I need you to understand something very clear. The first thing you need to see is, why is marriage and relationships quite important in scriptures? The first thing you must note is the fact that if you look at Ephesians, Colossians, 1 Peter, Proverbs, they discuss the issue of relationship and marriage. Praise God. It must mean that this issue of relationship and marriage is important. Amen. Church, amen. So that we can be consistent with our Bible, what we are reading. We are in the book of Corinthians. So let us start off in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. This man was actually still talking about our bodies. Then he now starts to talk about marriage in 7. But let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Right? In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he was talking about your body. Look at verse 18. We're just going to read this. What does it say in verse 18? Flee fornication. Amen. Flee what? What do you do with fornication? Flee. You don't just have, you don't have to be anything. If you know how to run, fornication won't catch you. Praise God. That's all. That's all. If you know how to run, it can't catch you. That's all. You run. Just the way you run from the devil, you run from fornication, you're fine. That's all. Amen. And what running means is that don't put yourself in a position where which you'll be stranded. Praise God. Does anybody understand what I'm just saying? I just spoke in Greek. Amen. Praise God. Don't go and do night vigil in a woman's house. You get into trouble. You're not fleeing. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Just set boundaries that will help you. Praise God. Now, you know, look at verse 19. It says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? What is your body? The temple of the Holy Ghost. What should I remember about my body? Before Christ died for you, was your body the temple of the Holy Ghost? No. But now that you are in the kingdom of God, your body is now the temple of the Holy Ghost. We are now saying there's a difference between you before and you now. Where does God live? In his temple. Who is his temple? You are his temple. That revelation is what helps you keep and take care of your body. Amen. So the Bible says that the believer's body is sacred because the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's what makes your body sacred. Meaning you are the house of God. Did you get that? You are the okia. You are the dwelling place of God. Amen. So it says there, that's all he's saying. He says, you are the what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Right? Verse 20 now says, you are bought with a price. Once I'm bought with a price. He's talking about your body. I'm bought with a price. So he says what there? Glorify God in your body. What do you do with your body? Glorify. What does it mean to glorify God in your body? Treat your body as holy. Do not abuse your body. That's what he's saying to you. He says, glorify God in your body because it's for God. Say, my body is for God. And my body is for God. I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. Then this man is talking about body. Then he goes into marriage in 1 Corinthians 7. Because remember what we started off from. We said in the book of Corinthians, he was answering practical questions in church. Someone say practical questions in church. So the book of Corinthians is like the Q&A in the church. You know when Pastor and Mrs. B just sit down and say, ask questions. So he's talking about the body. Then he's answering a question that somebody asked him In chapter 7, it says, you asked me a question saying, should everybody be celibate? He now says, no. Everybody should have his own wife. Praise the Lord. And everyone should have their own husbands. Can we get a believing amen? Okay, so we're going to, now I'm going to pause that thought in chapter 7 to help you see we're talking about body. We're talking about body, his body. Then he now moves into marriage. But I want to say something to you because we're talking about marriage and relationships. When it comes to marriage and relationships, before we start saying you must do this, you must not do this, what is the number one thing I want you to see that will aid your marriage and relationships? Because nowadays people say they like number one. So look at that. Praise God. So, for example, number one, maintain a spirit-filled life. I'm talking about, you know, we said marriage and relationships, a godly perspective. Maintain a spirit-filled life. Ephesians chapter 5. How many people know that Ephesians chapter 5 comes before Ephesians chapter 1? How many people know mass enough that, Ephesians 1 comes before 5. How many people know that? Brilliant. So, notice that in Ephesians 5, you start to talk about marriage. But you realize that he had spoken about different other things in Ephesians 1, 2, 3, 4. And was Ephesians written to a whole church? Yes. Would there be people in the Ephesian church that were married? Would there be people in the Ephesian church that were not married? But Paul will talk about marriage to everybody in church because it's not when you are married you should know about marriage. Amen. So, we look at Ephesians. So, does he want you to know about marriage? Or what did he teach the church before he talked about marriage? He taught them about identity, who they are. Why? If you don't know, for those that are writing, if you don't know who you are, you would abuse other people. The first thing you need to get sorted out and understand is your identity. And when God tells you about your identity, it's in the word you see your identity. Praise God. What is your identity? It's there. Look at Ephesians 1. We're going to Ephesians 5, but look at Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1 verse 3 says, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I am to understand that my identity is that I am blessed. Someone say, I am blessed. This is what he wants you to know. He now says, what is the blessing? Verse 4. According to as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, without blame, before him in love. Listen, he says that we should be holy. Holy means set apart. So the first one says you are blessed. He's not trying to explain what blessing means. He says you are holy. Holy means to be set apart. Praise God. Set apart unto something. God is now saying what you need to know about you is that you are blessed. It means you are set apart unto him. Say, I am set apart unto God. Listen, let me say something. Holy equals the selection of God. What God's holiness is, it just simply means God's choice. Let me give you an example of what it is. When, like Sister Tammy, right, as you can see the glasses she's wearing now, she must have gone into a glasses shop and she must have seen 30 different specs. Amen. What do you call that? General. The moment she takes one of them and pays for that one, that glasses becomes holy unto her. What really is Tammy's holiness for her eyes? Tammy's choice. Amen. So God is trying to tell you that you must understand before we even start talking about marriage, you must understand that you are set apart unto God. You are for God's own. You are God's choice. Someone say, I am God's choice. That's why you must understand that God will never leave you alone. If he needs to get an antelope to talk or a donkey to talk, if people have stopped talking, if he needs to send an... Whatever God needs to do, you must understand that you can never be stranded because you are God's child. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Why? You are holy. He set you apart. It's not a mistake. In the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, he set you apart. Just the same way Sister Tammy goes into the shop and picks that particular glasses and pays for it. That glass is... holy unto Tammy for her use. You know, she can buy that glass and then put it in her travel luggage and never use it but once a while when she travels to Hawaii. Or she can wear it every Sunday. Or she can wear it every day. It's up to her. What she uses the glasses to do is up to her.
So believers don't choose their purpose, they discover it. Amen. Church, amen. Church, amen. That's something that comes from holiness. You are, God is trying to say, before we start talking about marriage, so you don't abuse people, so you are not looking for affirmation in the lives of other men, so you are not looking for validation. I'm not saying that validation is not good, like you see, we'll talk about it. But I'm saying that that insistent need to be validated should die when you understand that you are God's choice. Hallelujah. Church, hallelujah. Just like, for example, it's the same thing about marriage. That's why it's called holy matrimony. There are 4 billion women in the whole world, and Brother Toby, with all his anointing, decides to choose, of all the women, decides to choose Sister Victoria. Sister Victoria is holy unto him. What he saw, we don't know. He went around the whole world of all the 4 billion women and said, this one is the one I'm going with. That, see, amen. The point is, that is his holiness. Nobody can go and meet him and say, what do you mean? Is she of your class, of your caliber? No. The moment he chose her and she accepted the choosing. You know, he must accept the choosing. Have you seen on Instagram now, where people are holy, trying to make people holy, and the people are rejecting the holiness. Amen. Yeah, it's happening nowadays. You will kneel down, call everybody's family. They will say, surprise. The lady will say, no, I shall not be holy unto you. No, I will not suffer twice. Amen. Praise it. The dating one is enough. Praise God. But the point is, the moment she takes that ring and says, yes, what has happened to her? She now carries his surname, his essence. She's holy unto him. All that is God, she's got, is hers. It doesn't matter if he says it or not. That's what he did when he married her. Amen. Amen. We tell you guys, you can go home and say, bring your bank card. Pastor said, all that is mine is yours. You have not sinned. Amen. He's the one that of everybody, he chose you. That's holiness. That's why when you get born again, the Bible says you are joint heirs with Christ. Not a kind. Joint. It's joint. It's joint. Praise God. You are not co-heirs. You are joint heirs. That's the Bible says, as Jesus is, so are you in this world, not tomorrow, in this world. Glory to God. I'm holy unto God. I'm holy. Listen, how many people understand? Have you seen Brother Toby around Sister Victoria? He'll carry the bag and sure, she's fine. She's okay. Are we saying that Sister Brother Toby is better than God? Anytime Brother Toby's around, there's a calmness Sister Victoria has. He will sort that out. They go for shopping. He will help her out. She's confident because she's holy unto him. Amen. Church, amen. I am saying that the resurrection made you the bride of Christ. You are holy unto him. This is what he wants you to know. This confidence will help you on this earth. Many things will come around you to say, you're not holy. You're not holy unto God. But I'm a believer in God's word. Praise God. It's there. That's why I'm showing you. I'm still in verse 4. You are holy unto God. Set apart unto him. His eyes is not off you. His eyes are on you. How many people know that? The way it is, he says we are joint heirs. He that is one with God is joined to him in the spirit. Let me ask you a question. When you see a photograph that you're a part of, who is the first person you look for? Talk to me. Who is the first person you look for? Your eyes are on you. Amen. The eyes of the Lord. Where is it? It's not on everybody. This is how you should see it. The eyes of the Lord are on you. Why? You are holy unto him. Amen. Church, amen. That is the spiritual blessing. Look at it. Look at verse 5. Look at verse 5. Haven't predestinated us unto the adoption of children. So the verse 4 says we are holy unto him. Verse 5 says we are now his children. Come on, we are now his what? Children. God will talk about Israel and say, can a mother forget her suckling child? Then he comes back again and says, even though a mother, based on desperate circumstances, can forget the suckling child, I will not forget you, for I have engraved you in the palms of my hand. Praise the Lord. Look at what he says. He says, you are now my children. Who is the believer? This is what the believer should know. You say, hey, Pastor, it doesn't matter because it affects every other thing. Even marriage. That's why he will talk about all of this before he goes to talk about marriage. Who is the believer? A child of God. It's not a figure of speech. If God is counting his children, he counts you too. Praise God. Church, praise the Lord. That is why you carry his life. The life you carry right there is called Holy Ghost. Praise God. You have his spirit. How many people know that if we investigate that baby that Victoria is carrying, she will have the life of Brother Toby. The DNA of Brother Toby. Amen. It's the same thing, sonship. If they investigate every Christian, they will find the Spirit of God in that Christian. Praise the Lord. Because we are his own. Look at the next verse. We're going to go quickly. Look at the next verse, verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us, I want you to be there. He has made us what? Accepted. You know, a lot of people have struggled with acceptance. Daddy didn't accept me. That word acceptance, permit my English or my Greek, is the Greek word charito. Charito means highly favored. There are only two people that this was used for in the old Bible. First one is Mary. When the angel appeared unto Mary and said, thou art highly favored. And did you see what Mary did? She was the one that wombed Jesus. The next people this same word, charito, will be used for are believers. Highly favored in his sight. Not based on what they do. Because charito is from grace. Not based on what they do, but because they accepted. Praise the Lord. When we accepted God's holiness forever, how does he see us? Highly favored. Accepted in his sight. If the very child of God. The very child of God. I'm saying the very child of God. Can we get a believing amen? Who are you? The very child of God. This should affect your prayer. It should affect your lifestyle. Listen, if you really knew that this Bible was not a figure of speech and you heard God say, I am counting my children, I'm going to count Osas too. How do you think Osas should respond or act? She will say, you know what? I'm going to pray right now and God will hear. The responsibility of the hearing is not with Osas. You know, a lot of people always teach big faith, small faith. This is faith we are talking about in the fact that Osas simply believes that God is our father. In knowing that, she would pray. She said, don't worry, he will sort it out. If I've prayed, he will sort it out. That's all. He's my father. He's more responsible for me than I want to be responsible for myself. That is Christianity. Any other one, there has to be. Christianity shows us that God has taken the responsibility to become our father. Praise the Lord. He says, this is what you should know before you go into marriage. What have we said? One, we have said you are blessed. Blessed means to be holy. Holy means to be set apart. We have also said you are his child. Right? We have also said you are accepted. Look at verse 7. Verse 7, it says, in whom we have, I want you to be there. In whom we have. All I have said so far is you have been saved into God's kingdom. But before we can talk about marriage, God wants you to know identity. What is your identity? You are blessed. What does blessing mean? Number one, we said you are holy. Number two, we said you're a child of God. Number three, we said you are accepted, highly favored in the beloved. Number four, we are saying you are redeemed. In whom we have redemption. Redeem is a marketplace word. Redemption means to buy something. Deem. Redeem. He bought us. Remember, we just heard in 1 Corinthians 6 where he said we have been bought with a price. Redemption is talking about buying. Amen. We have been born. It says, in whom we have redemption. How did the redemption come? Through his blood. What else do we have? The forgiveness of sins. Someone says, sins are forgiven. My sins have been forgiven.
Listen, this is quite important. Why? My sins are forgiven, like I always say, in a balanced setting. It's not an avenue to go and sin. Say, hello, hello, Osas, come. Do you know that your sins are forgiven? Let's go and do this. No. I mean, like I always say, this message is for sane people and also insane people. But listen, how many people here said, call their neighbor? They say, Tosin. You say, yes. They say, guess what? I say, what? There's water running through the tap. You say, yes. Let's go to the street and roll in the mud. Tosin say, why? Say, there's water in the tap. Is that what happens? No. But do people have showers? They do. Do they intentionally go out and go and get into the mud? No. But they know that because getting into the mud is not what normal people do. Amen. But they know for any reason, if they got any stain, they can get into the shower and they'll get clean. This is the gospel. Praise the Lord. The moment a person is saying, I can do anything because there is forgiveness of sins, it's like Sister Temi saying, I'm going to roll in the mud. You know, this was happening. Imagine Sister Temi rolling in the mud when we are in church here. She's just rolling out there. We say, what happened? You say, there's water. There's water everywhere. There's so much water. Don't you love water? That's not the point. The point is that the reason for water is that in case there is a stain, you can be cleaned. But there is something greater to do. Something greater will be arise and do the things God wants you to do. But if there was a stain, you can be cleaned. Are you getting the gospel, God's mind? Because even in physical things, you don't just arise and say, there's mud, I can get in the mud. That's why if we're not careful, we're going to raise a group of people that we let them see sin as okay. Because we say there is forgiveness. There is forgiveness, but it is insane to live in sin. Amen. The good news is that when there is the stain of sin, there is a shower called Jesus that cleanses you. But the right, it is even bad preaching that get men wanting to sin. Because sin is not the normal thing people want to do. Praise God. If you teach a man right, he doesn't want to sin. How many people actually want to live for Jesus? I'm not saying is it simple, is it not simple, but you want to live for Jesus. That's it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Church, praise the Lord. So that's all. We've said this so far, that we are redeemed, we are forgiven. These are the things. What is the totality of everything that God has done for you? Who made you holy? The one that made you accepted in the beloved. What is that one thing he did that made all of these things we've talked about for the last 30 minutes your reality? It's in verse 13. In whom ye also trusted, after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel. Someone say the gospel of your salvation. In whom also after you believed. When you believe the gospel, what did God give to you? You were sealed with the Holy Ghost. So, if you wanted to summarize it, what did God give you as a believer? He gave you the Holy Spirit. The fact that you have the Holy Spirit is what makes you blessed, is what makes you holy, is what makes you accepted. Are you getting it? Amen. Are you getting it? So what did I receive when I said, oh, Jesus Christ, come into my life? Yes, you received the Spirit. So what does Jesus want you to know? Before we even talk about all this whole marriage, is that he wants you to know that you're a child of his. You have received his Spirit. Can we get a believing amen? Amen. Now, let's conclude by going to chapter 5. Chapter 5. There are many other things he wants you to know that solidifies your identity. What does God want you to do? Talk to your mind about who you are. Did you hear what I just said? The word of God is for your hearing, is for your speaking. So you have heard me say you are holy. You see it in the Bible saying you are holy. What should we find you saying about yourself? I am holy. I'm God's own. I'm God's prized possession. What does that do to you? That's what Pentecostals call faith. You keep talking about it. It becomes real to you because your mind must be engaged with what is true. Amen. You know, before now, before you came into this service, were you holy? Yes. But until you bring what God has done to the forefront of your mind, it will look like it's not so. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Church, are you hearing what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying to you. What God says about you, you put it upon your heart. He just said, I'm a child of God. You go about your week. You say, I'm a child of God. I'm glory to God. I'm a child of God.
That's what will make Paul say, if he spared not his own son, and offered him up for us all, how shall he not with him give us all things? Say, I'm a child of God. That's what you do with God's word. You put it upon your lips. That's what you do with your identity. Don't you know I'm a child of God? I'm holy unto God. I'm accepted in the beloved. I'm God's special one. I've got the Spirit. That's how you talk. I've got the Spirit. I've got the Spirit. When I pray, he hears me. I am the child of God. God's eyes are on me. I heard it from the minister of God and I saw it in God's word. God's eyes are on me. Glory to God. Church, glory to God. All right, let's conclude today. We have just a few more minutes. Let's conclude today. Amen. Look at Ephesians 5:17. So we'll go deeper into his marriage and relationship, right, in the next 2 to 3 weeks, because that's where we are in our teaching. Look at verse 17. Wherefore be ye not unwise. Let me say this as a foundation to the things we share about. What makes marriage work can stand on two legs. It's called love and wisdom. What did I say? Love and wisdom is what make is the, they are the two legs. God's way, love and wisdom. And we'll break that down in its detail in the weeks to come. So you look at verse 17. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. What should be the pursuit of the believer? Understanding the will of God. Remember I said to you, from the example of tennis glasses, where will Tammy's glasses find success? Understanding what Tammy wants the glasses to do and doing what? Cooperating with it. Amen. Church, amen. It's a sin. When we break it down to the elements of your life, it's the fact that, number one, you are holy. You are holy unto God. God has picked you and set you apart. The success of the totality of your life is understanding what he will want you to do. And guess what? Doing it. Praise God. And for every one of us in its specific detail, it will be different. Amen. Church, amen. I can say about myself, to the best that I know, I am in God's will. Praise God. And that's how a believer should be. To the best that you know, the last thing he said I should do, that's what I'm doing at the moment. Because he says, if you don't do it, you will be unwise. Amen. You know when someone calls you a fool, you're always angry. But see the diplomacy of this word. Don't be unwise. What is wisdom in our kingdom? This new kingdom you are in. Understanding what the will of God is and doing it. It will almost be simplistic, but man, sometimes, because he has a mind of his own, always wants to do very many things. But when you drill it down to the basics, what is God's intention for your life? Understand his will and do it. Are you hearing me? You see, in the many things that's going on in your life, you say there are a lot of things going on in your life. Yes. Where will the things start to make sense for you? Where I come to a place and say, you know what? There is someone that created me. He created me and he has a plan. I will find myself busying myself understanding his will, because I know that as long as I am following his will, I'm a success. Success in our kingdom is simply following God. Write it down. Success in our kingdom is very straight. Simply following God. That's success. In this kingdom, outside in the world, they'll tell you many, many other things. At the bottom line of it, in our own kingdom, remember we said we are now translated into the kingdom of God. We are once in the kingdom of darkness. We now said in this kingdom, success is simply following God. That's why it will make sense to you when they tell the husband, love your wife. What will be success for him in that marriage? Simply following God. Amen. Church, amen. Okay, let us get into it. Let us get into it. All right, look at it. It says in verse 17, wherefore be ye not unwise, understand the will of God. Verse 18, some might say, hey, they just told me about the will of God. I don't even know how to start. The Bible got you. In the next verse, look at it. And be not, I want you to be there, and be not drunk with wine, wherein it is excess, but be So the Bible is saying something to you. The man that will be filled with the Spirit will end up accidentally, even without trying, stumbling into the will of God. Amen. Did you get that? Amen. As complicated as it looks, I always say God's way, God's power is in the simple instructions. Some might say, oh, what do I need to do in my life? I want to understand God's will. God says in the next verse, do not be drunk with wine. So that wine will be, don't be overtaken with the things of this world. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Don't be overtaken with the things of this world. How many people have ever taken wine in their lives before? Ever been? No, we are in church. It doesn't mean. Amen. Is that you don't take it and get drunk now, that is our issue. But that you have taken it before. Amen. This, good. He says, what is it about wine? You take it, you continually take it as a consistency with it. That's how you get drunk. Amen. He now says, when it comes to the will of God, how you get filled with the Spirit is that there is something you will take. You will continually take it. You will stay taking it. And then you will get to where God wants you to be. Look at it. Look at verse 7, verse 18. And do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. How? Verse 19. It's clear. Right? In 5 minutes, we're done. Verse 19. How am I filled with the Spirit? I want you. Is in verse 19. How am I filled with the Spirit? Verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms. Hymns. Spiritual songs. Amen. So where do I start off from? I want to know God's will. That's good. It means that you want to embrace wisdom. He says, how will I go about it? Speaking to yourself in psalms. What are psalms? Psalms are songs, words of praise. Psalms are songs, words of encouragement. Psalms are songs. That's the reason why we spend time singing. And I said, let's sing some more. Why did I say we should sing some more? That we will be filled. As I'm filled with the Spirit, even as a minister, I will say exactly what I ought to say to you. Praise God. The Bible will talk about a man that was angry called Elisha. He was very, very angry. He knew that he could not prophesy because he was very, very angry. He was already in the flesh, full blown. What did he start to do? The Bible said, get me a minstrel. He started to play. As the Bible, he started to play, the hand of the Lord came upon him and he was able to prophesy accurately. This is something about your makeup. So I am saying, before we talk about marriage, the first thing God wants you to have is a Spirit-filled life. A Spirit-filled life is in singing, speaking. Amen. Gary, there's an atmosphere you can intentionally create. An atmosphere of words, of songs. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless the Lord. Why? Thanksgiving and praise. Put your heart in the right place for God to deal with. Amen. Thanksgiving makes your heart tender-hearted. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Create that atmosphere. Be filled with the Spirit. Learn it. Learn it. Sing about God's love. Sing about God's grace. It does something to your heart that changes everything. Oh, sing songs of yours. Talking about God's goodness. Give it a melody. He says, be filled with the Spirit. Just the way a man would drink and keep drinking. He says, sing and keep singing. Fill your heart with words. Look at it. Because we got to go. Verse 19. Speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual song. Are you seeing it there? Singing. So there is speaking. There is making melody. There is singing. ING is there. So it is present continuous. Making melody in your heart to the Lord. Because your heart is the seat of decision making and interacting with God. Says, look at that. Giving thanks. Verse 20. Giving thanks always. Have a lifestyle of thanksgiving. It will change your life. A lot of people have a lifestyle of murmuring because they look at the problems on ground. God says for your heart to be filled with the Spirit, to get the way in this kingdom. Giving thanks. I want you to read verse 20. Giving thanks always. Is there giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of Jesus. So he's saying in the name of Jesus, based on what God has done, you lift up your hand, you say, Father, I thank you. You know, a lot of people think they have a lot of things to complain about, but every one of us have great things to be thankful for. We are thankful for our salvation. We are thankful that we have been rescued from so great a judgment. We have eternal life. God is committed to us. God is our Father. We thank God for His redemption. He says, giving thanks, always say, Father, I thank you. I give you praise. Maintain an atmosphere of thanksgiving and praise. Singing psalms. You will watch anxieties go. Fear will go. It's the same thing that the man David would do when he was being chased. He would encourage himself and he would sing. He would bless the Lord. You write all the psalms that he wrote. They're in the Bible right there. You know, you can have your own as well. I have some of my own as well. Where I sing about, I even sang one today where we're worshiping right here. Right? Right. Talk about the goodness of God. You kept me many years ago. You know, he would write about where God kept him when I was in Engedi. Oh, in the cave of Adullam. He would write it as psalms. You write yours. Bless the name of the Lord who has kept me from destruction. The Lord who kept me and led me and showed me the way that I should go. My God, the miracle worker who works miracles, great miracles always. Do you know what that does to you? It stirs your heart for more. That's just the way the heart is. It stirs your heart for fellowship. Oh, God is big. Have you heard about pray? You praise God to your own good. Have your own praise party. Praise be to God, the God that is great and mighty, who divided the Red Sea. Oh, what great deliverance. Oh, he helped me in 2024. He helped me in 2013 when I was lost. And that's you talking. I was down. I was out. And the Lord God showed up. You are talking. You are talking. It's not that God does not know. Your heart needs it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because before long, you start to murmur. You start to complain. Great things happen for us if we take stock. The Bible tells about the children of Israel. They just divided the Red Sea. What a great miracle. But the Bible says they did not put it to heart. The next few days they were thirsty. They started to complain. They started to murmur. Oh God, oh God, oh God, we need water. Instead of them to say, the God who, when we thought that Pharaoh, and they were singing before, Miriam led them to start singing. Our God has done great things. Our God is a mighty warrior. But when they saw challenges, they forgot. When they forgot, they started to murmur. When they started to murmur, they would start saying, where is God? Oh my God, we are going to die of water test. Instead of them to say, oh God, the one that divided the Red Sea, how faithful are you? I know that you have, I know this. I'm so sure, glory to God, that you are right here with me. You're walking with me, my journey today. That's what you need. The kind of heart, right, that is sensitive to God, is the kind of heart that gives God praise. Rise upon your feet today and let's give God praise. Let's give God praise. Let's bless His name. Praise God. Let's bless His name. Hallelujah. Let's bless His name. Let's bless His name. Let's bless His name. All right, the minister can play on. I want you to spend some time giving God praise. Come on, everybody. Oh. I want you to sing a song of yours. Or say things. You're learning about thanksgiving and its impact. The man that wrote the book of Psalms, he will talk about life situations. He will talk about God. Some of you need to pause for like 30 seconds and think back. He's been good to me, to my family. He's kept me. He has preserved me. He has given me a vision. He has given me words to sing and speak. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, you can sing yourself into healing. You can sing yourself into miracles. You can. Glory to God. God is always a miracle worker. The man that wants to see a miracle just taps into it by singing and engaging his heart. He's a mighty God. He gives utterance. He does miracles. He is the helper. He helped yesterday, helps today, helps tomorrow. The Lord God that shows me and tells me. The Lord God that gives my eyes visions. Oh, I want you to say things about your God today. Engage your heart. Thank you, Lord, for everything you have done. Oh, thank Him. Thank Him. That's why Paul will say in the book of Thessalonians, giving thanks always. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. You might have even come here and you have many things on your heart. We are showing you how to be filled with the Spirit.
Thank you, Lord, for everything you have done. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Even when you wake up and you know, in the middle of the night, and all the pressures of life, you say, thank you, Lord, for everything. This is how to keep a tender conscience. This is how to walk out of offense.
Thank you, Lord.
There is something working.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for everything you have done.
In front of Lazarus, a dead man, you will have thought Jesus will go there and say, oh my God, what will we do? This man who stand in front of Lazarus, a dead man, and say, Father, I thank you because you hear me always.
Hey, you have done 2 more minutes in our lives. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
You thank God for your children. Thank God for your home. Thank God for your family, your husband. Thank you for your wife. Thank you for your friends. Thank God. Thank you, oh God.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
Thank Him because He is your ever-present help in the time of need. That He will never leave you nor forsake you. Thank Him because He's your wisdom. Thank Him. Paul, David will say, He's the one that makes my hand strong. Through Him, I can scale a wall. The Lord God helps me. He's the one that enlightens my darkness.
Lord, for everything you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
This is what it means to be filled with the Spirit.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for everything
you have done.
You are worthy to be glorified. You are worthy, Jesus.
Go to somebody and sing with them as we close. The service is over. Go to somebody.
You are worthy. You are worthy, Jehovah.
You
worthy, Jehovah, you are worthy to be glorified. Oh God, you are
worthy, Lord.
Jehovah, you are
the most high.
You are
the most high.
You are my King and Lord.
You are the most high.
You are my hiding place.
You are the most high.
You
are the most.
I've been so good.
You are the most high.
You
are the most high.
You have been so good.
You
never leave me, never forsake me.
You are the most high.
You are always by my side.
You are the most high.
You never leave me now.
You are the most high.
Even tomorrow.
You are.